One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai. Kosai.org.
Audio Frontier.
This is Football Daft with Stephen Purden.
Midfield dynamo and average actor.
Chris Toll.
Target man. Suspicious character.
And
welcome to Football Daft. It is the daftest Scottish football podcast around. I am producer Jordan. Let's welcome the team. Now, he's not here, but he's kind of dropped out last minute, and the intro doesn't work without him. So I'm going to say, first, a man who is the Will Smith of this podcast, because if you mess with him, he will knock the jaw clean off you, Chris Toll.
Hey.
Because it's all for him, he can shout it.
Right, that's exactly it. And that man there, just a minute ago, a man who's the Chris Rock.
I can't do the show, I'm sorry. And just for our listeners out there, that was like at the 11th hour, that was like right before about to start.
That was it. He shat it.
I've got too much to do today, I can't do the show, I'm sorry.
It's funny when you hear that.
Lads, I've got far too much to do today. I can't do the show. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, he fucked the intro because I'm going to introduce Grado now. A man who's the Chris Rock of Football Daft. Funny, offensive, and he can take a hit. It's Grado.
Oh, I quite like that one.
That was pretty good,
I want to talk about us.
Finally, the Jada Pinkett Smith.
I've got far too much to do today. I can't do the show. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
And finally, that man there, the Jada Pinkett Smith, because let's face it, he would have hair like her if he hadn't had those transplants. It's Stephen Purden.
John, I'm annoying this week.
John, man, that's fucking cool. And that was this week's Football Daft.
I really
hope Will Smith isn't listening to this podcast. He'll be coming back and me next. Keep fucking Stephen Purden's name out of your mouth.
Take Shell Soup Bob's mouth. No, take Shell Soup Bob's name out your fucking gob. I said, take Shell Soup Bob's name. Like Grado Graffy's not at our heroes to Des Clark or something.
I did.
It was just a River City joke, man.
Shout Soup Bob's name out your fucking mouth.
Honestly, Jim McGarry on the back of
I Jim McGarry on the red carpet after a pure. I don't want to comment on it.
Who would be the Liam Payne? Dan Corn or something, it? Dan Corn or something like that, man. I mean, both of them are Rangers fans, but I don't want to use that as an excuse, you know what I mean, Beth?
Yeah, what about Chris Rock standing there taking that? Do you know, just think he's going to think about that every night before he goes to his bed? Like, do you know when you think about regrets in your life and you go to your bed, getting dafted like that on the stage?
I mean, I know.
It's bad. I feel terrible for him, man.
He got a standing ovation. He did his first gig since.
But mentally, man, it's going to be like...
Where do we stand? Are you team Chris Rock or team Will Smith, Grado?
Team Rock? Team Chris Rock?
Stephen?
Team Rock?
I'm team Will Smith, man.
Are you joking?
Well, do you know what? Right, the thing is, right, it was Scott Fletcher said this the other day, Grado, right? He says, I kind of stole his joke a wee bit there, because the way he put it, he says... I mean, if I'm at the other Heroes Awards and Des Clark's making a joke about Jane's fucking health condition, if his missus Jane had health condition, he's like, he's getting a fucking slap. But you put it that way, but I think he overreacted a wee bit. The hang is, right, John, the hang is, right, we all know Chris Rock is a stand-up comedian, right? He's a comedian, right? It's now becoming, I'm surprised at you, John, because it's all now like the offended culture, right? I know it was a bit distasteful, the joke, but Ricky Gervais, man, how it was some absolute raspers, right? About fucking fucking Harvey Weinstein and all that.
Mel Gibson, right? And all that, calling him a fucking woman beater, and he was sitting in the crowd laughing like, fuck.
You know what I mean?
You know what I mean?
And see if that was like fucking Ricky Gervais or something hosting that, and he cracked a joke, Will Smith's not going up slapping Ricky Gervais. Right,
but is it different though, because it was his wife? Now, you saw the clip, Will Smith's laughing, and then he's fucking turned to his wife, saw her face, like, I'm fucking...
Exactly, so keep it, Will Smith.
I'm going to have to fucking do something here.
Exactly. And then, have you seen the footage that got released? And it's just for the back, though.
Aye.
Mate, you can tell Jada's laughing after it.
She's laughing after it.
Aye, I know.
It's weird.
I know.
But it's that face, see that kind of greedy face that Will Smith has got when he's doing that.
Aye.
Like, you can tell he's all
it's like a wee bit tremble, and he's like...
Aye, trembling.
But it's when he says, take my wife's name out your fucking mouth, and he goes, well, and he's like, yeah! And he's a bit like, aye. He's a bit fucking... Aye.
Do you think what Will Smith's done wrong then? He's done it in public. What he should have really done is follow Chris Rock to the bathroom and beat fuck out of him in the bathroom.
Aye.
He could have went, I'll fucking see you.
I'll
fucking see you, Ken, you know, all that.
Aye. And then fucking, like, it's like school and all that. Like, there's the fucking Rock and fucking Ryan Reynolds and everyone standing, fight, 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 go on, fight, fight, fight. And there's Will Smith. Chris Rock taps off, fucking rocking with each other, you know.
And it's the whole fucking, like, here's an image of Denzel comforting Will Smith. Fuck off.
No,
I mean, like, all that stuff, man. Like, you're going, right, the thing is, like, all of you guys that put, like, Will Smith for different films, not watching it and all, you've got to set examples, man. You can't just walk about slapping cunts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just funny, man, see when Will Smith went and said that Denzel Washington said, at your highest point, the devil's got to come for you. I was thinking, that's true, man. A lot of things went right for me when I wrestled at the Hydro. No, I didn't see in my personal life. I was doing a lot of things I shouldn't have done. And I was like, he's right. The devil came for me when I was wrestling at the Hydro. The devil came for me in that period.
It was just like Will Smith and Chris Rock. It really
the
was.
Devil came for me in my 20s quite a lot in River City. It was massive, man. It did, man. It did. Nicola, I could shout Nicola and then she'll second that.
Right, we'll talk about a wee bit more about this later on, because we're going to get into it in the big question, but let's get into Scottish football right now. Two games, two draws for Scotland. After, in typical Scotland fashion, we grasped a draw from the jaws of victory with last gas goals for Poland and Austria. Did you watch the game, boys?
Nah. Bits and bobs. Bits and bobs.
I watched the first half of it, and then I turned on that Ukraine concert, and then I turned that off to
Okay. I think Scotland were robbed the first game. It was never a penalty.
Yeah, it was never a penalty.
They were robbed, but the second game, I think the changes implemented by our gaffer, Mr. Steve Clark.
Yeah.
I think the changes disrupted the team a bit too much, and we just kind of, I don't know, it's like we fucking forgot how to defend for the last half hour of that game against Austria. Do you know what I mean? But it's a wee bit, I don't know, man. You're looking at it now and going, I don't think we're going to play Ukraine, right? So I think it is going to be Wales, but I'm going, some of the defensive blocks, man, you don't want to be doing that against Wales, but the way Bale plays for Wales, you know what I mean?
I mean, I do fancy us, though. I really do fancy us against Wales. When you look at the team and you look at the players on that team and the way they play, I mean, some of the football is really, really good. They knock
John McGinn's goal is one of the best goals that I've ever seen.
That McGinn goal was fantastic.
Ah, it was phenomenal.
I've actually not even seen McGinn's goal, but I did see a good bit of football played in the first 5-10 minutes of that game against Austria, and it get played into the box to McGinn, and it went straight to the keeper. But see the build-up to it, I was going, what?
Mate, you should
Nathan Patterson's run, Nathan Patterson's run against Poland as well. I wish he'd scored that one. What a goal that would have been.
John McGinn, he's doing it now. Look at John McGinn's goal, mate. It's like, what, the football is phenomenal. What a finish as well, man. I think we could take Wales. I think Scotland are looking a really good team now. Good team. You've got to go at that. The only thing you take for it is we're still kind of keep that unbeaten run going, like Clark said, after Poland. Obviously, it's just a friendly against Dortmund.
Wow,
it's not really.
Yeah.
It's just a friendly. It's not really. But it was a wee bit, like, the way they just imploded, man.
It's a bit disheartening. I saw a tweet saying John McGinn will be the first Scottish player to hit 100 million mark. Do you think... I mean, I don't think... I can't see 100 million, but do you think he'll be the first player to break that 50 million mark?
No, I think Kieran Tierney will.
Yeah, well, there's talk about Real Madrid, isn't
there? I think he'll become... I think if Madrid sign him, they don't fuck about, man, with their money and that. Where when they want a player, they'll put in a good bid. Arsenal don't need the money, so they'll need to put in a good bid to get him for Arsenal, and I think it will be a lot of money.
That'll be nearly 50 million anyway for him.
McGinn is phenomenal, but he's like... Remember Celtic? I'm so glad Celtic
$3 million Celtic were bought at $3 million. He's worth, like you say, he's worth, I mean, he's probably worth 50 million or over that now. I mean, when you...
They're talking about Declan Rice. What they talk about? What are fucking West Ham saying? 100 million, nay less than 100 million for him?
John McGinn's a better player than Declan Rice, arguably.
That's my point. You could argue he is, aye? So, different kind of midfielders, obviously, but you could argue... If they're saying he's not going for any less than that, fucking Villa could be going like that when somebody comes in for a bid for him again. Well, we'll start talking at fucking 70, 80.
Yeah. Crazy money. World Cup drop is tomorrow. I can't believe it. We're recording on a Thursday here. 29 to 32 teams already known. There's two intercontinental playoff matches still to go, like Scotland set for June. Scotland pot four. The rules are basically that teams from the same continent will be kept apart except for European teams, where a maximum of two can be in any one group, right? So I'm going to run through the pots and I want you to pick who you want from each pot, right? So pot one, here's the seeded teams. Qatar, Brazil, Belgium, France, Argentina, England, Spain and Portugal.
Qatar.
Qatar. Obviously, because they're the host, they're in pot one for some bizarre... I don't think I've ever seen that, the host being in pot one.
I was going to say... Well, the host, obviously. The bonus of being the host is just you've qualified, obviously, but I've never seen him being in pot one.
I don't think I have either. So that's
been fucking that.
Aye. So Qatar, pot one. Pot two, right? So we've got Qatar, Mexico, Netherlands, Germany, Denmark, Uruguay, Switzerland, USA, or Croatia?
USA.
USA.
Oh, aye. Yeah.
Then we'll beat Denmark. We did beat Denmark.
You don't want Denmark.
No,
what a major tournament. You don't want Uruguay either.
Croatia, agent team. Croatia. We played them in the Euros. They didn't. Obviously, moderate. No.
Right. What we should be doing here is we should be going heart and head, right? Because you'd like the big glamour games and all. Do you know what I mean? So maybe I'd like England for pot one, because it's England. Yeah. Maybe the second pot. Read them out again for the second pot.
Mexico, Netherlands, Germany, Denmark, Uruguay, Switzerland, USA.
Netherlands, man. You want at a World Cup playing Holland? That's dynamite, isn't it? Yeah. So I really want Qatar, but I'd like England. I really want USA, but I wouldn't mind getting the Dutch as well.
Right, okay. Pot three, Senegal, Iran, Japan, Morocco, Serbia, Poland, South Korea and Tunisia.
Poland.
Yeah.
Aye. They didn't look any great. Fair dues, they didn't have Lewandowski all night, but they didn't look any fucking great shape, did they?
I'd take Iran out of that, I think.
Aye, Iran, aye. Take anybody out of that pot.
Aye. And then the final pot, obviously, these are they've got Cameroon, Canada, Ecuador, Saudi Arabia, Ghana, Wales, Scotland or Ukraine, Costa Rica or New Zealand, and UAE, Australia or Peru.
How weird is that, looking at that, no seeing Italy?
Mate, honestly, man, it's fucking weird, man. And I read a stat the other night. Italy haven't won a knockout game at the World Cup since 2006.
Is that right?
That's when they won the World Cup, remember?
Mancini's kept his job, though, surprisingly. There was talk about him going to Newcastle, but obviously I think he's got so much credit in the bank with the Euros when he's keeping his job, it looks like.
It's not a World Cup without Italy, man.
Nah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Oh, man, I love them.
It's going to be such a bizarre World Cup anyway, just because of the...
We'll be doing panel, mate, won't we?
That'd be crazy. World Cup final's the 22nd, am I right in saying, or is it the 21st of December? It's
that's the day before the Whitney Houston documentary comes out.
Brilliant. There you go. What a point of reference. The World Cup final, the way it's the documentary, of course, go hand in hand.
See, between that, and I don't want to really talk about it too much, but see, like, your fucking knowledge of, like, that and airports and, like, planes and all that, you're like Rain Man.
Yeah. Talking about the football, the international football, it's all kicked off on Twitter this week. One of my colleagues at Radio Clyde, Stephen Mill, put up this. Sky just really don't care about Scottish football, do they? They can't even be arsed with a presenter. And that was on the game. It was very bizarre. 45 minutes to build up to the England game, 5 minutes build up to the Scotland game. Half time, there was no studio. It was just went back to Ali McCoist and Ian Crocker basically talking through the highlights. There was no kind of post-match analysis, none of that. It was just those two doing it all. And it felt like a two fingers up to the Scottish game. Of course though, our friend, another girl I know, Alison, who works at Sky, waded into this debate on Twitter. And who came in with two-footed on this debate? None other than our good friend, Ewan Cameron, who then went on to tweet and has gotten fight with everyone at Sky Sports now. He tweeted the following. It was a thread. It was an epic thread.
One of five, wasn't it?
Five. You ready for this? Strap yourself in, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. This is Ewan Cameron's take on Sky Sports coverage of the Scotland game. Last night, my friend Stephen Mill tweeted, Sky really don't care about Scottish football, do they? Can't even be arsed with a presenter. I, with many Scottish football fans, agree with Stephen, and we voiced our criticism. 1 of 5. Here he goes. As I said last night, Sky Sports coverage of our game lacks respect. They don't care. Our game is treated like an afterthought or used as a filler to their main event, which many fans have said for years. Our criticisms have now upset a few who work for Sky Sports. I, along with Stephen, have been called out and been told it's wrong for others working in football to take a cheap shot at another media outlet. I reply, I'm a subscriber. I'm a paying customer.
I'm a subscriber.
I'm a paying customer. I'm a Scottish football fan, and my job has hee-haw to do with this. To the team at Sky Sports Scotland, you know this isn't a criticism of you, but of Sky Sports. You've taken this personally, but I think you, deep down, know what we're all saying is true. Sky Sports had big shoes to fill following BT's excellent coverage. They have failed. Scottish football fans haven't just started being critical of Sky Sports. This has been going on for years. Sky Sports don't care. That can't be disputed. Why? We can all see it. And then it gets weighed into the BBC. Between Sky Sports and BBC Scotland, Scottish football fans get served up dross for the money we pay. Agree or disagree?
I agree with everything.
First of all, I didn't notice much about not having a studio because I watched the first 30, 40 seconds of the Wales game, because that was the same. Yeah. The Wales game never had any presenters. But I think Alison Conroy's point is they should have been taking pot shots or whatever you call it, fellow media, but she works for Sky.
Well,
she works for, what's his name? Fucking Burdock,
Rupert Murdoch,
aye.
It's the biggest enterprise in the world, surely.
Aye.
Do you know what I mean? It's not as if it was her decision to make the day presented. It's not really.
She's being quite defensive, isn't she? And quite.
It's like, I could see her.
A big animal like Sky, you need to be able to take a few fucking pop shots getting flung at you.
I could understand if it was STV2 having a go at it. Somebody's went, oh, this is pure shite. Then you'd go, aye. Oh, well, come on, man. It's STV2, it's the budget, come on. We can only do what we can.
Do you know the worst thing Alison's done? Is bitten at Ewan. Don't bite at anything Ewan says. He's got a fishing rod out every single time looking
he's
for a
Piers
bite.
Piers Morgan, man. Yes, Piers Morgan.
Aye, absolutely.
But no, I thought it was, I'll be honest with you, I thought it was absolutely disgraceful that Sky Sports didn't even bother their arse getting a presenter or doing anything. We don't know what the background in it is, on it is, but for me, BT's coverage of Scottish football is far superior to Sky's.
I think BT is going down a road where it is just becoming better all round, man, than Sky at times. Do you know what I mean?
BT is 100 times better. I love it. But at the same time, although whilst I agree with you that I don't think the show, well, look at Fletch. Look at my wee mate Fletch. He was filmed the other day.
We've not talked about this. This is the famous IQ. Let's recall the story of when you and Fletch went out with Scott Arfield and Fletch got stung with a bill for £300 for buying vodka, and he was playing Billy Big Boss and then tried to palm it off on you.
Well, that's the flex that we're talking about. He was asked by Sky to come up and do the whole, right, say a couple of words for the build-up for the Old Firm game, so he's given all that. Sleepless nights. I don't sleep the night before. It is the biggest derby in the world. It's the biggest derby in the world. But what I was going to say about Sky, I think he's not taking that a wee bit too far because there wasn't a couple of presenters for a friendly. Is it not a bit pulling?
I think you compare though, Grado, it's compare and contrast. 45 minutes build up to an England friendly with obviously a full studio, and then you've got 5 minutes build up to a Scotland game. You know, we're all the UK, we're all part of one country, so why is...
Was there not a build up available via the red button, like match choice?
No,
there wasn't.
Right, do you know my honest take on this? And I'm going to be really honest with you.
Do it.
I don't really care. But I agree with what Ewan's saying, right? But all I really care about is Rangers and what's happening on Sunday.
Right, okay. Yeah. Listen, we're going to get into that later on in the big on the Football Daft Focus. Right, got to say congratulations finally. Kevin Thompson, friend of the show, and Kelty Hearts, first team in Britain to win the league after the beat Stairsview at the weekend, gained promotion to league.
Well played. Can Kelty
go all the way? They're
going to do a Gretna.
The thing is, Cove are doing a Gretna as well. So Cove and Kelty, they've got a lot of money behind them. Both clubs have got a lot of money behind them. And to be quite frank, as a Falkirk supporter, I'm not a big fan of them coming up to League One next season. You're going to be stuck down there with them.
But fucking Cove have got Paul Hartley, haven't they?
Well, that's true.
But fucking Kelty have got fucking Kevin Thompson, know what I mean?
Kevin Thompson, I think.
Barry and Bob Malcolm Inkin last year.
I don't know.
But
they must be sitting there laughing.
Sick. Sick, man. See, they must be sick.
I seen Big Bob tweeting today, man. Is everybody's Hotmail working? I've not had an email since Monday. And I was so tempted to give my best back at it.
That's the best.
Jackie's 12.
Go on, Stephen, have you got Bob's email address?
I don't think I have.
No, I think I might have it. We send him an email just to say that it's alright, Bob is working.
Just send him an email. I've got it.
3 years ago, anybody know if Hotmail is down? I've not received any emails on Monday.
I'm typing out an email to Bob Malcolm to say, we'll see if he replies by the end of the show. I'll just say, on the subject, it's okay, Bob. It's working, yeah.
I did that, did that. Say hello for Bob and Grado.
I love how folk are serious replying. Your inbox is probably full. Check your email. See if you've had any email saying about it. This happens to me on a regular occasion because I never delete emails.
Right, I'm just
going like that, man. Like Kevin Thompson, pure fucking love and life, man. Promoted with Kelty. Bob is sitting there looking at his emails.
Refreshing it, what fuck, man? Somebody touched this computer.
I've put in the subject. It's okay, Bob. It's working. Hello, Edo and Stephen. I'll send that.
I'll send that.
We'll see if we get a reply by the end of the show.
That's the best.
Brilliant, love that. Right, okay, what are we going to do on today's show? We've got to get into the draft. Remember last week we had Michael Smith on the show, guys?
Yes.
He's Ibrox Stadium announcer, if you missed it. The Old Firm obviously is this weekend. We're going to touch on that, like I say, a bit later on. But we set Michael a challenge last week. We said we want to get a word to squeeze in at half time. So we've got a few suggestions here. See what you fancy. I've got a kind of idea, but see what you fancy of any of these. Simon should say, get Michael to say friend of the show, or say, get him to say cut that out.
That's funny.
But I have to say though, that slightly worries me because that means maybe a bit's been left in where we're shouting to our editor, cut that bit out, Ryan.
That's giving me the fear.
That's giving me the bit of the fear. So, Simon, please go and DM me and let me know what bit's been left in that shouldn't have been. Please.
That's quite funny. I mean, they're going to be sitting refreshing their emails like Bob Malcolm sound, man. I'm sure that was it. Fucking dodgy, man.
Sorry. Ian says, just get him to give a shout out to the lads at Football Daft, Grado, Stephen, and Tam Spraggins. Lewis Beatty wants him to say Specky Ride. 56 this year says Will Smith's a slapper. And JD just wants up to say flange boys.
I think you've got more chance for the flange boys, haven't you? Can I just throw
I've
that
got a suggestion here, right? I've got a suggestion.
Could you imagine that, man? We're getting beat 2-0 at half time and fucking he goes on the pot and goes, flange boys.
I've got a suggestion here because obviously at the football, you get birthday shout outs right at half time, right?
Yes.
So why don't, right, if Rangers are winning, we get a shout out, happy birthday to Bob O'Hara? Because if we say Stephen Purden, it's going to be too obvious, right? Happy birthday, Bob O'Hara. And if
one off the name Bob O'Hara, we could do more eyebrows, man.
And if Celtic are winning, we get happy birthday, Tam Spraggins.
Oh.
And if it's a draw, we get happy birthday, Alan.
If it's a draw, we get happy birthday, John McInally.
Right, okay, right, okay.
Aye, there we go.
If it's a draw, happy birthday, John McInally. Right, so what do you think that is? That's the challenge for Michael then?
Aye, do that. That's fine. Great. I'll be there, man. I'll be watching with intent.
Yeah, we'll listen out at half time for that. Right now, for the daft stories of this week, boys, would you like to hear about the Naked Man and Greggs? Would you like to hear about the most popular dog names of 2022? Or would you like to hear why we regret online purchases?
Why we regret online purchases? I'm quite intrigued.
Bredo?
Quite intrigued. Well, I buy a lot of shit after I'm letting totally
right. Okay, it. A new study has says the majority of buyers.
Have... We're all talking about this guy who sent his bobby out in Greggs before.
That's
disturbing, man.
It's all right, I don't know.
If you drop a bit of chicken bake on you know, your wee man down there, it's going to be fucking horrendous, isn't it? That thing's hotter than fires of hell.
Drop a bit of fire today, man.
He's fucking honestly dropping a bit of chicken bake on your wee man.
You don't want a chicken bake. That's this week's title for the show.
You don't want a chicken bake in your wee man.
You don't want a chicken bake in your wee man. Right. Okay, a new study finds most adults regret online purchases very fast. It says that majority of buyers have regrets over things they order online. Poll of 2,000 adults say 74% have experienced buyer's remorse after purchasing items online. Some common regrets include feeling like the item was less valuable than expected, not using it as frequently as expected, and having spent too much money on it in the first place. Greg, I'm going to come to you straight away on this. What's the biggest thing you've regretted buying online? Because you buy lots of shite.
Oh, I did buy loads of shite. The biggest thing I regret, I can't think if there's any in particular. When I go down my Amazon buying list, I look at it and I go, what a fucking waste of money, man. St. John's ambulance kit. Peril powder, latex cooking gloves.
Right.
I'm going to check mine's around, man. Actually.
A can opener. What we got here?
Need one of them.
Travel coffee mug. What else we got? Oh, antifungal cream repair.
Oh.
That's no fun. That's for the missus.
Hi, Maggie Grado.
What else have I got? Do we see unbroken? Oh no, I can't read that out.
Fleshlight. Can't read that out.
Ice cube machine. I still fucking buy ice cubes because it takes too long to make. So that was a daft purchase. What else have you got in your Amazon list? It's quite interesting.
I've got right glove glue, GG Labs, 6 needles, a pump for Leo's boss. For his footballs. Compression set, sports set, that's like his Under Armour, because right. I'm good. A Mountain Dream TV wall bracket.
Aye.
Fire Stick TV remote. Set of 4 Stella Artois chalices, yes. Wave hot tub filter cartridges, which then gives me a nice wee segue into why did I buy a hot tub? Because I hardly ever use it. That was another.
Oh, last summer it was leaves me in the hot tub, and now you're not even touching
it. It's been a very spicy topic in the Purden household the past few
weeks. Why spicy?
Because I like my new house and my new garden is looking quite swanky and all that. Then there's this big fucking inflatable hot tub, man.
Well, mate, I asked about for a hot tub in 2020 when you couldn't get one for love nor money. See the amount of texts? Toll texts me every other week. You're still looking for a lazy spa.
Mate, I know he doesn't.
I ken somebody selling a lazy spa. You ken Andy Lump. I'm like, mate, I don't want one anymore.
Yeah, there's this one, Gredo, man. You like this? This is on my list. Vocal Zone 3 flavour bundle.
Oh, yeah, for like the
Wagamama cookbook.
Oh,
So there's quite a lot of regret on this list then.
I bought fucking two XL fucking Metallica t-shirts that I never wear. I use them as 90s, to be honest with you. But...
I remember that Metallica one you don't like.
I've been sitting here, but I wouldn't wear it out, mate. I wouldn't wear it out.
Right, okay. Well, there you go. Lots of regret on online purchases. If you've got a regret of an online purchase, please let us know at Football Daft Pod on Twitter. So this week, as we said, Football Daft Focus, we're going to get stuck into the Old Firm this week as we preview the match. We're going to get Scott on from the Battle Fever podcast, and we're going to get Jamie on from 20 Minute Tim's. I feel sorry for Jamie because Toll's meant to be on, so it's 3-on-1. Poor lad.
Wow, man.
Who are we getting on?
Jamie from 20 Minute Tim's. He's going to be coming on. And Scott from Battle Fever podcast, Grado.
Oh, brilliant.
Scott Sound, man. You've met Scott, haven't you, Grado?
I can't remember them. I can't probably.
You probably have met him.
Yes. On Big Question, we're wanting to talk about the moments that players see red miss, just like Big Will Smith did when he went into business for himself. And the player profile playoff this week, we've got that on to win pies. Grado's got three riddles. I've not even asked them.
I've got them.
You've got them. Brilliant. And on teammates, his former Hearts and Motherwell midfielder, it is Kevin Twaddle. It is time for Football Daft Focus as we get into the big talking point of Scottish football. It's the third Old Firm game of the season this Sunday, and the nerves are starting to get to everyone. A lot of people are saying this could be a title decider. We'll get into that in a minute. We thought we'd welcome representatives from both sides of Glasgow to argue the case for the team. In the green corner, hailing from 20 Minute Tim's, it's Jamie. How you doing, Jamie?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Good to have you back on. Had you on a couple of years ago. Good to have you back on. You've ruined my intro now, Stephen. And in the blue corner from the Battle Fever podcast, it's Scott. How you doing, Scott?
I'm a bit offended now you've introduced 20 Minute Tim's first, but I'm
alright. Oh, here we go. It's started already.
I just want to say, right, Chris Toll got in touch just before the show. This looks very fucking weird now because it's like 3v1, right? It's me, Grado, and Scott against Jamie, right? And I feel bad. Toll, you should be ashamed of yourself. But this is all we got for him, Jamie, right before. This was literally like an hour before we went to record the pod.
Lads, I've got far too much to do today. I can't do the show. I'm sorry.
I didn't realise he was a busy man.
I know, but listen, let's hear it one more time, because I just love the way it's like he's grudging saying sorry, or he's raging that he has to say sorry.
Lads, I've got far too much to do today. I can't do the show. I'm sorry.
It's like he's spilt like a carton of milk in a new carpet or something like that. He's meant to fuck this man on the podcast today.
I didn't realise he was a mogul. He had all these fingers and all these pies and all that. Like,
by the
geez,
way,
Chris.
Do you know he's got a forfeit with Jason Reid?
No. Oh no, what's happening?
Look at this.
Right, so if Rangers win the league, he's got to buy Jason Reid his Rangers strips for next season and vice versa. And I wanted to hear as well about Noam Dar drop kicking him, but he's not here to tell us. So we'll find that out later on.
I think I was there for that.
Well, let's get into it, boys. Let's get into it. And I'm going to start at the big talking point, which is kind of breaking today.
Is that the big talking point of Rangers shiting themselves for this game? Is that what it is?
Jamie with the first blow in. It's been forwarded.
He needs to fucking honour his sales only one of them. He's doing well, not I mean, go for it.
Grado's for it. It's been forwarded many times in many WhatsApp groups. It's Alfredo Morelos on crutches at Glasgow Airport. So it looks like his game is done for Sunday. Come to the Rangers boys first. How important is that?
It's massive. For me, it's massive. I think it's become apparent for so long when he's not in the team, we just don't look the same team when he's not there. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. And it's a bit annoying. I don't think it's kind of must be on Ross Wilson, Mark Allen, Gerrard, over the years that we've never really brought in another forward that can play that role. Do you know what I mean? That can hold the ball up, that can bring others into play. Roof, for me, is a quality player, but he isn't a replacement for Morelos. Doesn't he do the same job? Itton, we all know what happened there. So for him to be missing, not just for this game on Sunday, we've got a massive April. We've got fucking a quarter-final Europa League, do you know what I mean? So it's massive. I just hope it's not a long-term injury and he's back soon, because I don't know if you agree, boys, he's he's pivotal to his man.
I love how some folk are on Twitter going, maybe it's mind games. Maybe
well, I'll tell you what, there's part of me that thinks it might be a work. Do you know what I mean? Just a set of crutches and...
We don't have the brains for that.
No. Have you seen how we've dealt with this fucking friendly fiasco? There's no chance we've got any brains in
Are you suggesting Morelos shat it for this game just like you shat it for the friendly? Is that your suggestion? Is that
fucking...
Jamie, it's obviously, I'm guessing it's a big plus point for Celtic.
Well, it is, because he's caused his problems in the past, you know, being serious for a minute. He has caused his problems. He's a wee pain in the arse. He's not really weighed in with tons and tons of goals against Celtic in these games, famously, but he's put in a shift from time to time. But that being said, when you look at Celtic's defence, Carter Vickers is a beast back there. Do you know what I mean? He's no the sort of centre-half that's going to get bullied by Alfredo Morelos anyway. So I don't think Rangers winning or losing this game swings on Morelos playing, to be perfectly honest. It's always the other players that tend to cause us a bit more problem, like Kent and all that, you know. So aye. I think Celtic centre-halves have got enough in them to take care of Morelos. Was he playing? But it's definitely a bonus that he can't make it. Yeah. I don't think Roof's a bad player, though.
No, I think Roof is... See, when Roof's fit, for me, he's one of the best players in this country. He's class, but... I don't know what it is when Morelos, he's like that focal point for us. When he's not there, I've seen it so many times. People moan about Morelos when he's not having a good game. He's not scoring enough goals. He's not doing it. But see, when he's not there, the team, I don't know what it is. I think we've spoken this before, Scott, as well. Like, yep. When he's not there, it's just the team don't look the same.
It came for an ideal time for Roof because he has looked good in the last couple of weeks when he's came on. But I can't lie, man. It's made me sick looking at that picture at the airport. It's ruined.
I think Roof would probably have started anyway, given, as you say, Credo, given his recent form. But for me, alongside Morelos, or just off him to the right-hand side, usually is where he would be playing. I think that's a blow for us, not having Morelos. But listen, you hear all the talk before this has been for Celtic, you know, about how it is. It's their title already. They've won it, apparently. So... We need to make sure that we go into that on Sunday and we don't give them a minute's peace, unlike we did at Parkhead. And really, listen, it doesn't matter who plays. See, when you pull on that blue jersey, you should be getting 110%, especially in that game. And if you can go out there and you can feed Roof, as we did last year when he scored two against him at Ibrox, we're certainly really capable and we're threatening. We might just need to adapt to our game a wee bit. But I still think we're more than capable of getting the job done and getting the result. And listen, quite simply, they have to, and that's it. It's just you've got to do it. There's no other alternative.
Going back on the comments, sorry, Jay, I was going to ask you this. Obviously, Jacques Marcus made comments, a couple of other Celtic players. Are you against that? Do you think that gives Rangers a bit of ammunition? Or are you like, yeah, go for it,
really, boy? Honestly, I don't buy into all that. A couple of things are at play here. I can't remember the quotes, but you know how they always get taken out of context a lot of the time anyway, especially when it's a translation. And secondly, I don't think Rangers need any ammunition to be up for this game at all. Do you know what I mean? They got an absolute hiding at Parkhead and they just need to go back and watch that game again. And then that should be all the motivation they need for this. I don't think one single Rangers player, I don't think the Rangers manager is going to be going, oh, you hear about what Jack Amakis said? You must be raging at that. I don't think it's going to take that sort of thing for Rangers to get up for this game. I think they're definitely going to be up for it. And I think Celtic just need to match them. And that's one thing you never really worry about Celtic. Sometimes Celtic maybe lack a bit of quality in the final third. The delivery can be a bit bad sometimes. We went through a period a month or two ago, where it was just like aimless crosses into the box. And you know, these bits of quality can let Celtic down at times. But one thing that never lets Celtic down under Ange is the work rate.
Stephen, talking about the Celtic side, who is the biggest threat for Celtic? I'm going to come to Jamie and ask the same question, but for you, who are you most worried about in that Celtic side?
I think at the moment, in current form, I think we obviously need to watch the boy up front, Jackie Mackie. I think he's had like consecutive hat-tricks at Parkhead, like two home games. The two boys either side of him kind of got a lot of pace. The boy Abada's like shit off a shovel. Do you know what I mean? He's rapid. Do you know what I mean? And the other boys at Maeda as well. So I think just our front three, they look like they can cause a lot of teams problems. And obviously this season it's been very well documented how nervy we've been at the back at times, so we need to make sure we can keep the back door shut.
How good are your centre-halves in the ball?
I think Goldson's good on the ball.
I think that's what it's going to come down to, because I think Maeda's, depending on who Celtic go way up front, I think they'll probably go with Giakoumakis because he's in form, and Kyogo will probably make an appearance on the bench. We'll probably have Jota out on the right and Maeda out on the left, but see Maeda's closing down our centre-halves, he doesn't give them a second. And I think that's going to be key for Celtic because they're right on top of the centre-half. He, himself, right on top of the centre-half. And then even when the ball gets played out, if it comes back, he's bang right on top of them again. And he puts a lot of pressure under the centre-half, so they really need to be good in the ball. And I think what we're going to see is, for Rangers, we're going to see us doing a lot of pressing up front, Rangers try to work the ball into midfield, and it's just going to become a midfield battle, you know?
Aye,
I think
aye.
I can probably see you playing Ryan Jack for that exact reason.
I think your three will be Jack, Lundstrom, and I think Ramsey will start as well.
Lundstrom will be key, just to what Jamie says there, because Lundstrom drops back and kind of splits the centre-halves, and I think if he can do that and find that space, then Lundstrom's got a pass to him. Lundstrom can...
I happen to think he's a good player, by the way. I think he's a bit underrated. I think Lundstrom's underrated.
The past couple of months, he's been great.
He's found his form. And the thing is, as well, is we kind of go long. Not that we go long under Gio, but there's always that option there with Morelos because he's aerial ability and stuff like that. With Roof, I don't think, obviously, that's his game. We'll need to try and play through Celtic a wee bit. And that may be where we need to think outside the box, you know, but listen, that's how Gio gets paid the big bucks, and you know, he's got to come up with some sort of plan to deal with it. We've got a squad there, as you said, Stephen, but Aaron Ramsey, this is the reason why he was brought to the club. Do you know what I mean? For these kind of games, we need to see it now, and that's just it.
Do you honestly think he'll start on Sunday?
I think so.
Jamie, see if he doesn't start on Sunday. He's a flop.
After this, you've got six games left.
Aye, because see all that talk about. I'm not being just funny here for the podcast. I mean, all that talk when he signed and all that talk about the biggest signing since Gaza, the biggest signing for this. See if he doesn't contribute. He's the biggest flop that's ever hit Scottish football because nobody's came with a reputation like that before and contributed absolutely nothing. So if he turns up on Sunday and doesn't do anything, if he doesn't even start, you need to look at the guy and go, what the
Sterling Sunday, man? You've annoyed me, Sterling Sunday.
He played for 10 minutes, by the way, at Dundee at full flight, and I think you've seen the quality that was there and what's available.
Dundee the worst team in the league, though.
If he can, well, he fucking caused you problems at Park Eden, caused us problems at fucking Des Park. So, you know what I mean? You know, so, was it 4 minutes for the time both clubs took to actually win the game? So.
Yeah, so Jamie, is there anyone in that Rangers side that worries you?
I think Lundstrom's a good player. As I said, I think Lundstrom's underrated. I think Kent always turns up for these games. I think the issue we've got here is when analysing this game, it's a bit of a weird one because the first game at Ibrox, as loads of sun streams in my window and I look like a glowing skull on this screen, I can see that. the first game at Ibrox, I wouldn't really call that Angie's team. I mean, it wasn't that bad. Eddie missed a sitter. I think McGregor should have squared it and we could have scored. We had good chances at that game at Ibrox, but that was just kind of Angie in the door and getting a feel for his team. The second game at Parkhead, we absolutely murdered you. So you're thinking, well, it's not going to be a repeat or it can't be a repeat of the Parkhead game. So you're sort of analysing it as a completely different fixture. And I think it's definitely going to be in the midfield. I think Aribo's a good player, but I think he's out of form now. I think he's massively out of form. I think John Lundstrom's a good player, and I think Celtic have got a real decision to make in midfield on how you deal with that, because you're going to have McGregor in there. Do you play Rogic? Do you play Hatate? Do you play Matt O'Reilly? So I think it's going to be, I know it's a pure cliche, but I genuinely think it's going to be won and lost in midfield, because that's where the ball's going to be ending up most of the time, with the way I think Rangers are going to have to play it.
I agree, man. I do agree. And I think for that reason, like you were saying a minute ago, I think Ramsey will start, and I think he'll play in the middle of the park alongside Lundstrom and Jack. And I think that'll be our midfield three.
Yeah. Refereeing. Let's talk about refereeing. Role form always comes down to refereeing. Willie Colm in charge of this one. I saw a statistic which Ryan, our editor, put up on the group chat saying that Celtic have only ever lost one game with Willie Colm in charge, and that was his first game back in 2010. Does that affect anything, or is that just a non?
It blows the conspiracy theory out the fucking wow. That's what it does. Do you know what I mean?
He's a bad bunch.
He has, to be fair. He's probably he's all right. I would say. I don't think he tries to. Well, does he try and make it about
himself? He's a panic merchant. Will he call him? He freaks out at everything that happens on that pitch. That's my problem with Willie Colum. Everything that happens.
I would agree with that. To be fair.
Do you know what I mean? It's like Willie Colum referees games like he's just woken up in the middle of a football pitch and never doesn't know what the fuck's going on. Honestly, one of the worst refereeing decisions I've ever seen was Willie Colum at Celtic Park. Kirk Broadfoot dived against Mostorovic and he blew a penalty for it. But it wasn't the dive, it was the fact that it happened behind him. Like, you can watch, he's literally behind him, and he turns around, he does a full 180 and points at the spot, and you're thinking, there's no way you saw that. Physically impossible. You just heard a commotion behind you and panicked. So I think it's going to be a fraught one, because I think Willie Colum is a panic merchant, and he'll definitely send somebody off.
Agreed.
Right, Scott, what's your starting lineup?
For me, I would be going with Alan McGregor in goals. I'd be going with... I was talking to Steve about this last night. I'd go with Tav, obviously, Captain Goldson. I would have Balogun in there for his pace, right? Ahead of Hollander. As much as I rate Hollander as a defender, I think Balogun for his pace. And then Calvin Bassey's made that left-back spot his own. I'd have Lundstrom, Jack and Ramsey, as we said. And where I'll need to change it is obviously up top. So I think on the left, Ryan Kent's got to start because he's in problems. That seems to be his game. When he's been at Rangers, he's usually 9 times out of 10. He showed up in their games. Roof would need to go up top. And then you've got the opportunity there where you could maybe say Arfield or Aribo. Arfield, I like his battling qualities, but I think he's just maybe at the end of his career now. It's maybe just not there for him. But
do you know, imagine remember Walter Woods back in the day would throw somebody in that's not got a lot of experience. Imagine if threw Lowry in on Sunday.
I don't think the boy Lowry would be phased one bit.
No,
that's why I'm saying
he's a very good player, man.
Opportunity player. For a player like him to start on Sunday.
Yeah, that's interesting. Jamie, who'd Celtic go with?
The Celtic back four pretty much picks itself. You've got Joe Hart in goal, obviously. You're going to have Juranovic at right back. Taylor at left back, Carter Vickers and Starfield in the middle. That doesn't really change. Midfield, you're moving into midfield. You're going to have Callum McGregor. I think he'll play Hatate because he's Hatate's not been great recently, to be perfectly honest with you. But I think he'll get the shout for that based on the fact that he is a good player. He's just off form a wee bit, and the fact that he did a really good job against you at Parkhead. And then it's just that other midfield spot. It's a really tricky one. I'm thinking it might be Rogic. I think there may be Rogic over Matt O'Reilly. I think it might be Rogic, but I mean, you could throw Bitton in there, try and win the battle. You could throw James McCarthy in there to try and have somebody just to keep the ball and calm things down a wee bit. I'm not really sure, but I probably think he'll go with Rogic if he's fit enough to play. Jota up front, Maeda and Giakoumakis, probably. You could see the return of Kyogo, though. If Kyogo's fit, I know he's not played as much, and I know Giakoumakis is in really good form, but seeing you've got a player like Kyogo, there's really no sense in no playing him if he's fit enough to play, because he's just the better footballer, and it's really that simple. You know, it doesn't matter. Giakoumakis might have scored all these goals, but it could be Kyogo, it could be someone else on the bench that's just a much better footballer. You're going to play him. So I think there's going to be I think Giovanni will have a bit of a tricky time trying to figure out what team's going to turn up to Ibrox. Because even Celtic fans are not really sure who's going to play. And I think the Rangers team is probably more straightforward to understand who's going to play. So,
Jimmy, I tell you one thing that Celtic fans won't need to do is, this is my pet, hate the new with Gio. Gio reveals all in a press conference.
And tomorrow morning,
Geezy's opponent 2 days to come up with some sort of plan. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying Postecoglou's going to be sitting there saying, "Well, let's watch Gio's press conference and see what." He's not going to be worried, but he's going to be worried about his own team. But I would just like us to keep our cards close to our chest. And where Ramsey, there was rumours of being fit and no fit. Morelos, I'd be saying there's a doubt. We don't know. Right up to kickoff, there's doubts all over the place. Try and keep them guessing, man. Do you know what
there's
I mean?
Rumours that there's rumours. I don't know how strong they are. There's rumours that Kyogo's been fit for a couple of weeks, but we've just kept it quiet. No, played him in the last couple of league games because we didn't want him getting called up for Japan. So there's rumours that he's fit in training. And again, I'm not really what I like. I'm a Giakoumakis fan. I know a lot of people are sort of think he's not that good, but he's weighing him the goals. I like the guy. I just happen to think he's a good player. I think he offers something different, and he's a bit of a bully. In the box here, but Kyogo's different class. And he's sort of tailor-made for games like this. You see how he turned up the cup final for Celtic, turned up with half a torn hamstring and ran the show and then disappeared and won as a cup, you know. So he's a player of real quality. I think, I'm not just saying this, I think Rangers have got a lot to worry about on Sunday. I think this Celtic team you're playing on Sunday is more like the Celtic team you played at Parkhead and almost nothing like the Celtic team you played at Ibrox last time, because even then we had Welsh in the centre of defence. We had Ryan Christie and Edward still playing.
We had a lot of players out in the game at Ibrox, I know, mate.
You did, you did.
Your manager. Right, I think.
Your manager was his interview for Aston Villa at that time.
Right.
So, on you go.
What's the score going to be then? Let's go around Stephen Purden.
4-0 to Rangers.
I'll buy you Rangers strip next season if it's that.
I'll go 2-1 Rangers.
2-1 Rangers. Scott.
Aye.
I'm going 3-1 Rangers. Just what Jamie says there about a different team that will show up. I don't think you'll get the same Rangers team either that showed up at Parkhead, because they can't be any fucking worse than all that night. So I don't think you'll see the same Rangers team either, to be fair. We were pish. So
I think it could be goals here, by the way. Sorry, I'm not going to go.
Yeah, I'm going to leave you to the end, Grado, because you always got a great prediction on this. Jamie, what are you going for?
I think Celtic are going to win 3-2, but I think Rangers are going to be leading at half time.
Well, what did you say, 3-2 Celtic? I'm going to go 4-3 Rangers.
4-3.
I think it's going to be quite open, and I think this is going to be a Sunday to remember.
This game's going to end up 0-0,
isn't it? You'll be bored.
I'll sit in the middle right here. I'll go 1-1. Right, just get my arse on that fence right there. Boys, thank you so much for coming on. Get the Battle Fever podcast if you're a Rangers fan. Sign up for the 20-minute Tims if you're a Celtic fan. Brilliant podcasts and great presenters, as you can hear as well. Boys, thank you so much for coming on Football Daft. Really appreciate that. Best of luck to both teams.
Cheers, lads.
This Sunday.
Cheers,
lads.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, all the best, lads. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Cheers, lads.
Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Mona Rangers.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Football Daft's Big Question.
So, boys, the only thing that's been on everyone's lips this week is Sunday's Oscars after Will Smith got up on stage, slapped Chris Rock for making a joke about his wife. The red mist obviously came down on Big Willie style, and we've seen that happen loads in Scottish football. So we thought we'd put it as a big question this week. What moment stands out most to you when that red mist has come down on a player and he's went mental? Stephen, one stick out for you, or just in football in general?
Like, the obvious ones is probably what the punters are going to say, right? But there's a couple on the old fucking internet. You see quite a lot. Graham Souness when his Rangers days. Do you know what I mean? See that, but one that I remember seeing and I thought it was dead weird because I was only a wee guy, and it's no pure mega, but it's when fucking McCoist was going to knock fuck out of Gaza in the Scottish League Cup final at Parkhead. Remember,
I remember that, and he pushed his head and all that.
When Gaza tried to fucking make a mockery of him about a pass or something, and McCoist just fucking went there and grabbed him, pushed him, and he's saying to him, like, fucking not all right, that. I remember that going, that's so weird. Because fuck, you used to see them all kissing each other and all that and celebrating, but it was weird as a wee guy. It's maybe not like the red mist per se, John, but it was more, it was uncharacteristic. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was quite weird to see it.
Yeah. I don't have any particular, I just have memories being a wee boy going to junior football games, the worst part. I remember, I can see, I have no idea who's playing, but I can see, because I would only be about 5-6 at the time, but heavy tackle, red cared, players all in, running. Home dugout comes out, away dugout. The fans are on the park. I'm fucking greeting, telling my dad not to go to the barrier just because it was an absolute complete melee. Is that what you call it? A melee?
Aye, melee. A stramash. Remember, Suarez as well. Remember when he fucking took a chunk out? He was at Chiellini or Bruci?
But was the one, remember, I suppose this is really Red Bus because it's the same team, but remember, was it Bowyer and Dyer? Remember that?
Oh, aye. Newcastle,
Remember Roy Keane and Alan Shearer?
Roy Keane and Haaland's, remember that one? Where he's just went, disgusting. He's obviously, there's been something happening, he's just went, oh, it's horrible to watch, by the way. Absolutely.
I can't watch it.
Horrible to watch.
Horrible, man.
What about you, John? Any Falkirk, any Harry's got a few
stories? I think we've talked about it before, but I think the day when Albert Craig and Gareth Evans got sent off at the same time, and Albert Craig chased Gareth Evans down the tunnel and beat fuck out of him in the tunnel, it was the first time that television evidence was used in Scottish football. It was like Scottish sport cameras watched this.
We spoke about that, man. Remember, was there a similar one with... Who was it we had on?
Was it Ricky Foster,
remember?
Aye, yes, he did.
What was that one?
It was Danny Granger.
Danny Granger, Ricky Foster
spark out, I think.
Aye. Was it another one? That was one that kind of... It proceeded to go down the tunnel and on, they had a wee fight and then he get fucking sparked out.
Aye. Hear that interview back in the archives right now. Listeners have been in touch. Boys, let's start off with Craig. I was in the West Enclosure the day that John McStay took a dive against Big Dunk.
I never saw that because I think I was a wee bit too young, but you can get it on YouTube now, can't you?
He done time in Bologna for it.
He did. Crazy, man.
Daz says Ian Ferguson and Paolo Di Canio at the end of the Old Firm game at Parkhead in the 90s. I remember that.
Jordan, surely Cantona drop kicking a fan.
That's if you look up Red Mist, that's probably what you'll see first.
That is the definition of it.
Was that a Wimbledon fan?
I think it was, mate.
Because it was Wimbledon were playing Crystal Palace at the time, at Selhurst Park. Stephen says Lord Mojny Mayweather.
That's unbelievable looking back, I know, isn't it? It's unreal, isn't it? When you think about that, it's like, oh, pure fucking
bad memories. Ricky says, friend of the show, Craig Levein.
Yes, that was Hogg.
Legend.
Hogg and Levein back in the day. He talked about that. We just talked about that when he was on the podcast with us as well.
I love him, man.
Think he's getting any regrets of that?
Nah, has he fucked?
That's a good laugh.
I think Levine's only getting regrets about like stuff he buys in a supermarket that looks nice and isn't nice. I don't think he's the type of... I don't think he's getting any football and career regrets, man. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Credo.
Stephen says he was about 6 feet away when Big Mick McCarthy thumped Crawford Bartey at Celtic Park.
I wasn't at that game, but I do remember that. No, I can't believe some big... To be fair, Big Mick McCarthy's a bit of a hard man, and Croft's a big lad as well, so...
He's not hard when you see him come out of the tunnel, he's a fright at nothing. You've seen that clip, remember?
I've seen that clip as well. Ian says Stephen Mahey, the day Rangers won the league at Parkhead in 1999, he absolutely lost the plot. I don't remember that.
He did it after like 10 minutes, he sent off.
He was, he lost it. Sean says at least one boy every week at the six aside league I used to play, me most weeks.
I play like seven asides and no one really loses, but it's quite a timid game. I think I've played the same game for about 8 years, 9 years now, and I've never seen anyone lose the plot, but I have seen on games in the parks next to us full blown punch ups, game getting called off, bad tackles and all that, but yeah, our game's alright.
I remember when I played in goals for the BBs, I would always witness fights because there was always older guys playing in the parks next, it'd be full blown punches and get sent off, and it was brilliant watching it. See, as a goalie, because you'd fuck all day, because first Stevens and Boys Brigade were tremendous. We were brilliant, but...
Who sure is it?
All right. Sean says, at least... Oh, no. John says, when Ryan Kent pulled a real gun out of Parkhead.
That's pretty good. That's good.
Craig McKenzie, Alan Archibald beating Belton Doogie Emery at Hamilton was pretty delightful, even though we lost.
Alan Archibald, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Alan Archibald. I think I remember that. He absolutely decked. He seems like a gentleman as well.
I wish we'd known that and done a bit of research. We'd had something to talk about that day as well. And Grant's, I love this one. This is the best. Mark McGee going mental at camera phones.
He hates him, man.
Turns out the Hulk when he sees a camera phone, Mark McGee.
How's nobody said Jim McLean?
Oh, yeah.
How's nobody said Jim McLean?
With a punchbag, John Barnes?
Just when I thought of fucking Mark McGee, for some reason, Jim McLean, can fucking edit that or all. How's nobody ever, do you know what I mean?
Don't you offer me that.
Or what about fucking Sir Walter? Seeing that they missed it, fucking Chuck Young, man. That's brilliant. Yeah,
brilliant. It is the Player Profile Playoff with piesports.com. We bring you pies on this show every week, your chance to win them. And if you want to get them in for the Old Firm this weekend, you can do that by hitting up piesports.com or giving them a call, 01417999999. Brilliant pies up on their website. You're going to get chili pies, cheesy bean pies, the standard Scotch and steak pies. Sausage and steak is a big winner for me. And of course, the one that everyone's talking about, the Doner kebab pie.
Oh, I've only had a lick in the kebab meat
in one of the... A lick?
You're going to free.
Free hangman.
You're going to free.
Oh, God, man. It was tremendous.
It is good. I had me on a lick. I had a full munch.
They are going to deliver you pies free of charge to various postcodes across Scotland, so check out their website for details on that. However, we like to give away the pies on Football Daft, and on to play for those said pies this week is John, who's a Rangers supporter. John, welcome to the show.
Cheers, lads.
Hi, John.
Hi, John. Nice to see you, mate.
Old Firm week, John. How nervous are you?
A bit more nervous now that I've seen Morelos and crutches.
You've seen that picture as well, then.
Aye. By the way, it must have been one of the fastest pictures to get about, because it literally went crazy. And the timeline, there was him standing at the queue. Then 10 minutes later, there was pictures of him coming out at the security queue as well.
Aye, so
it was happening in real time. It must have went do kind of the WhatsApp chain.
Now, Grado, has it? Grado, you've got an exclusive on this, haven't you? Because Morelos, you can confirm, was going into the BA lounge.
Listen, that was 100% going into the BA lounge at Glasgow. Sorry, the BA queue, the BA desk at Glasgow Airport, because I used to go to the BA desk when I flew to America to wrestle, and I even met Alfredo Morelos himself at the BA queue. So I know for a fact I can confirm it as the BA queue at Glasgow Airport Terminal.
Exclusive to Football Daft, Morelos was in the BAQ. We don't know. If we get on to Flight Planner, we can track his flight. Grado's going to get on that right now. We know where he's... We can find out where he's going, because we know he's on a BA flight.
And also, he was standing with the physio. And the reason why I know it's a physio is because I was at a music festival and met Scott Arfield and this very same guy in said picture. And he said, this guy is a Rangers physio. So, come to me, troops.
Right, there we go. The new Hugh, we're going to call him Hugh Keevans from now on, because he's got all the exclusive on Football Daft. It is great.
When was the last time Hugh Keevans in a scoop?
I don't. There we go. John.
John's sitting going, like, what the fuck's going on here?
Right, John, we're going to... Let's just not stop the messing about. Let's get to the pies. We're going to play for the pies this week. Right, here's the crack this week. After Hitati scored two goals in the last Old Firm, I have went back and I've discovered other players that have scored more than two goals in an Old Firm. Two goals or more in an Old Firm. And that is who you've got to guess.
Right, wait a minute, John. You said, is it just a brace or more?
A brace.
Right, okay. Right.
A brace in the Old Firm, these players.
Two goals.
Did you not know that was called a brace?
I'm kidding on.
Aye, of course you're kidding on. So I'm going to give you the score, some of the scorers, and the date of when this Old Firm happened. You've got to give me the person that got the two goals, yeah?
Right.
Understand?
Yes. All right, go for it.
John, who do you want to play, Grado or Stephen?
Either or.
Grado or Stephen, who wants to play this week?
I'm easy.
Grado's stepping up.
Why don't we off since there's only three? Why don't we up, Lee?
Why don't we up? Because that's not fair on John. That's not fair on John.
Oh, okay.
Is it? Right, so, right, Grado, you stepping up.
Because that's not fair on John.
Right, Grado's stepping up, John. Okay. Here we go, right. What's your buzzer going to be?
Don't shat it.
Don't shat it, Grado.
Don't Grado. Shat it.
What about, I'm sorry.
Aye.
Can't he make the podcast, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, lads.
Right, okay, that's Grado's buzzer for this week. Okay, right, first player out, here we go. You'll have to be quick in this, I think, this week. This player did it back in 2011 in a 4-2 win for Rangers.
I'm sorry. Ibrox.
Grado.
Kenny Miller.
No, it's not.
Continue.
This player did it back in...
Stephen Naismith.
It is Stephen Naismith. Well
fucking
done, John.
I would never go to that.
Hey, I was thinking the 4-2 game at Park Heath and it was Kenny Miller and that's what I was thinking.
Aye, that's what I was thinking, Bob. I don't even remember the Naismith.
It's a 4-2 game at Ibrox.
Ibrox. Yes, Yelbich and Latterford.
Aye.
Yeah, McGregor had a just before half time and then
been
too long.
That's right.
There you go.
1-0 to John. Next one out. This man did it for Celtic in April 2001 in a 3-1 at Ibrox for the Hoops. The other scorer Larsson. I was about to say the other scorer on that day was Henrik Larsson. Grado, who was it?
I don't know.
John Hartson.
John Hartson is the wrong answer. Lubo Moravcik. The right answer. Right, okay. Here we go, boys. 1-0 still to John. Next player out. This is quick. You'll have to be quick for this one. This man did it three times for Rangers in August 2000. John.
Kenny Miller.
It's Kenny Miller. There you go. 2-0. Oh, John.
Might have changed it up the last bit if I've already seen Kenny
Miller. Here's Grado throwing his toys at the pram.
The toys at the pram. You've been beaten 2-0, Grado. How does it feel?
You should have put that one first.
Right, Grado, I'm going to give you the final one. Since you're more
than had to wait a minute.
Right, here we go. This striker managed two goals at Ibrox for Celtic in January 2011 with the second coming
I'm
from...
I'm sorry. The long haired cunt, would you call him Samaras?
Samaras it is, yes. Samaras.
See, I would have won, John. I would have won, mate. Right, I'll talk to you later, my man. Thanks for
well done, John. You have won the pies this week. Congratulations.
You, mate, you're always getting beaten, isn't it?
You still there, John?
Aye, he's still here.
John, all the best and hope you have a great Sunday, my man.
Aye. All the best, John.
Mate. Looking forward to it.
Alright, John, thanks very much. And if you want to get pies just like John just did, piesports.com is where you want to go.
It's now time for Grado's Three Riddles on Football Death.
It's that time of the week you like to get riddled with Grado's Three Riddles.
That's a great catchphrase. What a brilliant catchphrase. We get riddles every week.
I could just see a big 40 having like Subways and all that. Have you been riddled?
Barry Moore's fucking shining himself and so's Bruce Forsyth. We've got the new catchphrase.
Have you been riddled?
Have you been riddled by Grado?
At the end, everyone, man. Thanks for playing. You have been riddled.
I'm going to say that then.
I love it. Right, Grado, I'll go through the scoreboard and we'll go through who got it right last year. Dino, what is happening to you, Dino? He's not
going
to
get it again.
Not again. I don't know if he's fallen out of love with the game or what is happening. But
he's been riddled, man.
He's been riddled. That's what it does to you, man.
It's what happened.
He's all riddled out.
Last week's riddle for the listeners was, he's my darling's apple. What was the answer, boys?
Charlie Adam.
What did you say, Grado?
Alan Smith. I don't know.
I thought you said Will Smith.
No.
Charlie's Adam was the right answer. And getting another point on the board, he's on the board already. John Mitchell's got 1 point, so that takes him up to 2. So the current leaderboard is Ali McDonald on 1, the Pallet Prick on 1, Declan Ramage 1, John Mitchell is on 2. Ian Miko is on 1. Jack's on 1. Albert's Legend is on 2. Ryan Dunbar, 2. Producer Ryan, 2. Nicola Purden still on the leaderboard with 2. Dean has got 8.
My hero.
Steven and myself are drawing at 19 points apiece. And Chris Toe is on 33. Grado's got 3 riddles. Let's go. Let's get riddled.
Right, okay. Remember, they're just worldwide now because it's too hard to get just Scottish players and that, right? But the first man's shite, but I'll just get a bash. First day Chelsea player.
What?
Thirsty Chelsea player.
Danny Drinkwater.
Right, well done, John. See, that's... sorry, man.
Is he still at Chelsea?
No.
Nah, it doesn't matter. I know.
Right. Brazilian player asking if he'd done something.
Ronald who?
Brazilian player asking if he'd done something.
Right.
Kaka! Question mark.
Dida.
Aye, man.
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Dida.
Dida. That is good. Dida. That is brilliant.
That's a good one.
That is a great. That is brilliant. That is brilliant.
This one's.
He's raging, but because we're getting through him quickly, mate.
This is for the fucking. This is for the.
I could take the leader, John. Here.
This is good. This is first time that Stephen could surpass me here. Fuck.
Right. Okay. Ponsonby shite horse. Ponsonby shite horse. I couldn't think anything else for it.
Bernardo Silva.
No.
Olivier Bernard. No.
No.
Mate, that's so weird, man. That was literally the book in my mouth there. You just said that. Hold on.
Second part, Grado.
Shite horse.
What the fuck?
Points and pay shite horse.
Bernard Manning.
Hold on. Grado's pure happy now, man.
He says he's happy he's got us.
Take a wee puff his vape. No, I look not satisfied because he's riddled us, man.
He's riddled us.
I love a bit of riddling, man.
Loves riddling people.
Hold on, man, right.
Bernardi.
You better make you Google it?
Nah.
Bernard Pigeon.
How can you Google that? I'll type in right now. Ponsonby shite horse and we'll see what comes up in Glado.
That's funny.
Ponsonby shite horse. It's not just straight Bernard, is it, Grado, who plays for Brazil and Everton, no.
I can't, I've never helped you.
Is there another Ponsonby? Bernard Ponsonby, the point of the first one. Right, okay.
He's a conum. Bernard. Who the fuck calls him Bernard Ponsonby?
Bernard.
Who's that news? That's Bernard Ponsonby. Remember Dean Part's story about him?
Can't hang to put it there.
I googled Bernard Ponsonby recently. I don't know why. I was he's
trying to see the John Smeaton clip, no?
No, but
John Smeaton's he's a politician.
Right, Grado, see what we're thinking. Go and Google Bernard Ponsonby on Wikipedia. Is there something about him? He goes to the cinema at Parkhead or something like that.
He goes to the cinema Parkhead.
Go check his Wikipedia page and just.
He goes to what?
He goes to the cinema at Parkhead, like Cineworld at Parkhead. What's he on his Wikipedia?
Did it
freeze? No. Is this it? He is an avid walker, enjoys leisurely strolls in Chatterall Country Park.
That keeps getting changed then, because it was the last time I heard that he loves going to the
Cineworld at the Forge.
Right, back to the riddles.
Right, sorry,
shite horse. Ponsonby shite horse. Wait, hold on. Hey, I got to get this, man.
Bernard De Silva, no.
Just trying to think of things like a shite horse. That's all
I know.
Bernard Donkey.
No.
Bernard Mule.
No.
Bernard Muir.
No.
Gerhard Muir.
I was on the right track, I think, at one point. Hold on.
Is it Muir?
No. I would have done something about race.
I know. Ah, you see, we do. Oh, they just won for next week, Grade.
Uncle Ben.
this one.
Hold on, man. This is fucking annoying me. I don't want to say what I'm thinking. If I say what I'm thinking, John's going to get it.
Go, just say it.
No.
It's a podcast, mate. You need to say something.
Hey, rules don't apply when you're getting riddled, man. Oh, right.
He's will kick yourselves now. He's are so close.
Bernard Matthews.
Fucking hell, man.
That's the turkey.
He's ever watched football before, no?
What fucking hell?
What's a brace? What's that? Wilfred Bony.
No. Right, he's annoying me now, man.
I know. Right, hold on.
Come on, Bernard.
Jim, how many
players are called Bernard?
I mean,
how many?
Jim, should put this out to the listeners, man.
Do you know what? I think let's put this one out for the listeners this week because
right,
we are struggling. Wait, so there you go. Repeat the riddle, and this one's for the listeners this week.
Ponsonby Shite Horse.
And just for the listeners out there, it's going to you because myself and John McInerney have been riddled.
Been riddled.
It is time for Football Daft's moment of the week, and it's been ages since we've done this, so all the results are a bit outdated, but we'll go for it anyway. In last place, Stephen's SFA stance on Russia. That's how long ago.
Oh, man, that was ages ago.
9% that got. Grado's in third with the nomination of McGee's mobile kryptonite. That got 25% of the vote. Yeah, in second place, the listener's choice of the referee sticking the nut on a member of the coaching staff at the junior game, that got 32%. And the last time around, we had producer Ryan on the show, and he went with Livy's Mark McGee's TikTok, which he did with Music Sounds Better With You, and that won. So there you go. Grado, you had the second highest score, so you get to go first on this week's Moment of the Week. What are you having?
Well, Bob will be angry because he's been disqualified for using Rangers moments of the week. I'm going to see it as a moment for world football. A world footballing legend, Gaza, getting a wee run out on Saturday at a packed Ibrox. He gets the goal. Quite emotional, to be honest with you. It was a range of emotions because he came on the pitch and the first time he touched the ball, he kind of tripped over the ball. It was, you're like, oh, man. And then, obviously, they gave
a queenier swipe at it.
Aye. And they gave me a wee show, and just to see the book, because I'm like, oh, please go in, because it just trickled, and I'm going, that's goodbye, because in the back of the net, everybody's jumping about, the players for the World Select Team coming and all, I'm getting fucking texts, at least Gaza took his chance, you'd have to.
I was thinking that in my drunkenness on Saturday night. The reason we didn't get asked back for this charity one is because of the state of your money.
I mean, it did bring back memories, man. I was like, what? I saw that.
Mate, imagine we were there, that game there.
Worry days, boys.
But that's when we were a fucking pure
bad man. We were the go-to fucking skivvies, man.
Now they've got a lot of bands to choose from. They've got Callum BE, they've got St. Phoenix.
I wish I stuck in it singing or something.
Aye, all these Rangers supporters are coming out the closet and now becoming celebrities, boys. You've got to have to up your game.
They've took my spot, man.
I know.
Hey, I'm in the director's box in Old Firm Sunday.
So you are, right enough. Right, so Grado, Gaza's goal.
Keep that done, mate. I don't like to tell
that
the podcast.
Stephen, what have you got?
I've got two, man.
Right.
Right. I'll throw this one in for Tolden since he's not here.
Mm-hmm.
John McGinn's goal.
John McGinn's goal.
That was a thing of beauty.
It was.
I can't talk enough about that goal. The football, see if that was finished off by Ronaldo or something, and Portugal scored that, or fucking Messi scored it for Argentina. Can't you be showing it all the world?
Yeah.
It was a peach.
Absolutely.
That is my initial moment of the week, but now I've kind of, I just thought another one as well.
Go for it then.
Rangers saying that we will no longer be playing in the Sydney Cup.
Has that happened? I didn't even realise that happened. When did that happen?
John, as soon as we got in.
Hey, that's what we were talking about at the start. Breaking news just before we started recording.
I did.
We'll just start the podcast.
Start the podcast.
Welcome to Football Dan.
Right, okay. What? No, you're not your band.
I'm not out of Rangers, but. So that's Toles, but.
Right, okay, that's Toles.
And I'll take John McGinn's goal.
We'll take John McGinn's goal then, right?
Is okay. That close
the fuck? In that case, I'm going to go John McGinn as well, actually, but not John McGinn's goal. I am going to nominate John McGinn's arse, right?
Because again?
It's not been nominated. John McGinn's arse is.
John McGinn's arse was a nomination years ago. Yeah, months ago when we done this.
Oh, was it? Right.
Remember when? Did we not use John McGinn's arse as like party's body for every option one week, remember? He's toe.
Well, that was McTominay.
So it was.
So I want to nominate, continuous my nomination of John McGinn's arse, because that arse gets more fouls than anything else. He's what? Do you know what sort of statistic? In Premier League, he's one of the most fouled players, and this is mainly, I think, due to because of his arse. Because he gets his arse into people, and he gets fouled for the result of it. And he gets.
John, do you want to tap it, man?
John McGinn's arse, it's a big arse. It's a big arse.
It's a big arse.
It's a big arse.
No, he's so clever at using his arse, though. He's brilliant at it.
He is. So, my nomination, John McGinn's arse. So, I'm having that one. So, the nomination's in. John McGinn's goal, John McGinn's arse, and Grado has got
Gazza scoring in the Legends match. Getting man of the match.
And getting man. He got man of for fuck's sake.
John, behave yourself. John.
Come on. Right up. Okay. Right, the listener nomination comes this week from Vertigo RM on Twitter. In fact, Albert's a living legend who also gets involved in the riddle.
He's been riddled a few times as well.
Kelty Hart's win of the week, no question. That's the moment of the week, so fair enough. Let's put that in the mix as well. So your nominations for this week are Grado.
Gazza.
Grabs goal.
He's sleeping.
Gazza grabs glory.
Right. Stephen.
Hold on.
I keep forgetting you needed that at the end.
Hold on. So they are. John, you do yours first. Hold on.
I'm just going to keep it simple. John McGinn's arse.
Aye, that's a good one. Hold on. I'm thinking right, hold on.
I want to change mine.
So do I. I want to.
Ray, what are you going for then?
Gazza scores fluke goal.
Gazza scores fluke goal, very good.
Something about total football, man.
Right, well, you. Total football.
McGinn's goal.
McGinn's goal come to and the listener nominations. Congratulations, Kelty. That is this week's.
McGinn's tap bin. That should have been mine, Kelty winning the league.
Yes, well, that's the listener's nomination, isn't it? Right, so there you go.
I just got a bit of fucking beef with McGinn, man.
Just because he's a Celtic supporter.
Ever since that video turned off, simply the best thing now.
What you're voting for as your moment of the week, get on our Twitter now at FootballDaftPod. Remember, you can get more content from Football Daft now on our Patreon channel. Just in case you don't know what Patreon is, you basically pay for it, pay a tier, pay us a certain amount each month. You're going to get more content from us for that. You're going to get the video version of this podcast. You're going to get a video version of Rangers and Celtic podcast, a special Old Firm edition next week for that. You'll get teammates, all the teammate outtakes as well. You also get the chance to be a pundit on Rangers and Celtic Daft. and loads more to come in the coming weeks. You can get cameos from the boys, you can get happy birthday messages from Stephen, Purton, Grado or Crystal, whatever you want.
Yes,
get it sorted. If you want any of that stuff, sign up now, patreon.com/footballdaft. That's patreon, patreon.com/footballdaft, all one word. Get involved, love to have you in the squad up there. And talking of the teammates, let's hear another one right now. It's from former Hearts and Motherwell midfielder, total gentleman, it is Kevin Twaddle.
Worst dressed.
Worst dressed, Keith Wright.
Moaniest.
Craig Dargo.
Who do you want to back you up in a fight?
Andy Gorham.
Best looking.
Me.
Teacher's pet.
Alan Preston.
Most skillful.
Jed Brannan.
Worst trainer.
Andy Gorham.
Who never gets the round in?
Craig Dargo. Keith Wright.
A doubler.
Biggest bam up merchant.
John Spencer.
Top shagger.
I'd fucking love to see me. If this is going out to other people, I'm definitely not saying me, but I would love to say myself. But Jed Brannan. Best looking dude I've played with yet.
Best you've played with?
Tough to be Andy Gorham.
That's it for this week's Football Daft. Thank you very much for listening. Remember, you can get all the episodes on Spotify, Apple. Go and listen to them all. There's some brilliant stuff in there, even if we do say so ourselves. Full card in the SPFL. And what are you laughing at?
Even if we do say so myself.
Go listen to them all.
You can go back to listen to Ewan. You can listen to the Tanner episodes.
Oh, that's
I've never heard the Tanner episodes, man. What was the Tanner years like, man? Were they good?
Tanner years. What's it, the Tanner years?
Tanner's. Why did you always moan about him then?
What?
You always moaned about Tanner?
Hi, David, if you're listening. Right. Full card in the Premiership this Saturday. Dundee against Aberdeen. 3 o'clock.
I'm going to go with an Aberdeen victory for that one.
Aberdeen. Read up.
Aberdeen.
A Dundee fighting for their lives. I'll take a draw on that one. Hibs Dundee United. Hibs are so up and down. What Hibs is going to turn up? Same with Dundee United, to be fair.
I'm going to go with the Arabs getting a victory there, because I think, see if Dundee United score first, which they're capable of doing, Hibs won't score.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Dundee United as well.
Yeah. Okay. And Motherwell St Mirren.
Oh, Motherwell are struggling, aren't they? They're hitting the doldrums.
They were flat, not won a game since December still.
I'll go with a draw there.
I think I'm going to go for a draw there.
Draw both of yous. I'll take a Motherwell one. Ross County Hearts.
Grado, what do you think of that one?
What are you thinking?
Ross County, one of the form teams in the league.
Draw.
I think probably... The pension scores first, but it'll probably end up a draw.
I finally sent Johnston Livingston.
Oof. That's one of the ones, isn't it?
I think the old Super Chase will... I don't normally go against Livy.
Aye.
I think the old St Johnston will get a wee result that day.
I think, well, you've got to look at it. St Johnston need to score, so I've got a feeling that... I think St Johnston are going to win that one.
I'll take Livingston on that one. I'll take a draw on that one. So there you go. That's what's happening. Obviously, Old Firm boys. We talked about that earlier. How are you feeling at this point?
Well, sick, John. Quite dejected due to the situation with Morelos. No good, as we've spoke about it.
We've got a wounded buffalo.
Yeah, and look, man. There's no way, so like some folks saying he might be all right, there's no way you've got crutches on a Thursday and you play on a Sunday. I would be very, very surprised. So it's
Andy's on a BA flight.
It's just fucking luck, man, with breaks. That's what happens when we get breaks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well...
I think it's going to be a very, very tough afternoon, man.
Yeah, well, best of luck to you boys. I hope you have a good day no matter what the result is. And Stephen certainly will, he's in the director's box. So here all
I'll be, that. I will, me and my mate are getting suited up, getting a lift there for, we're going to be there for 10:15.
See, the best it is, mate, I'm going to be there at 10:15 because your taxi drivers only can only take us at 9:30. So I'll probably be there at the same time as you, man. Dude,
I bet you're stunned as all that. Aye. All right, mate.
I know, mate, I'm
go, do you want to go and ask Colin if... Did you get a ticket for it then, mate? Aye,
Fletch got me a ticket, aye.
Oh, I think, mate, I'll see if I get you in, bud.
Well,
free bar, man. Free bar for 10:30.
You are going to be a burst boy come Sunday night, Stephen.
Me and my mate are going to get on it, man.
Doesn't matter what the result is, you're going to be in a sorry state come Monday.
That party on Friday. Director's box on Sunday.
Fuck, rap party, everyone. Rap party. I've got Saturday night WrestleMania, night one, Sunday Old Firm, Sunday night WrestleMania, night two, Monday morning. Go Radio Monday morning, 6 until 10.
Oh, mate, how do you, like, the other night you were having a bevy with Stephanie, how do you make it to work, man?
We were off yesterday.
There you go.
Because, mate, I don't know how you date, man. I couldn't get up. I can't get up, nothing, baby. Just can't do it.
Hey,
we'll
see you later, man.
Right, that's it for Football Daft. Thank you very much for listening. Guys, got to decide on an episode title from this. The nomination.
Before you go.
Has Bob emailed you back? Has Bob Malcolm emailed us back? No, he's not.
Hotmail's still down, everybody.
Hotmail's still down. So the nominations for this week's episode title are as follows. Bob Malcolm's inbox. Chicken bake on your wee man. Lads, I've got too much to do, I'm sorry. Or at least Gaza took his chance. That's the four nominations for episode titles.
Who was the lads up to? Sorry, I don't remember that.
That's Chris Toll's voice note.
Oh, yeah.
Lads, I've got too much to do, I'm sorry.
Who's made it fucking done it?
Well, that's a different one.
That's a different one. Don't play that one.
Lads, I've got far too much to do today. I can't do the show. I'm sorry.
You should play that right at the start of the
episode. I've got far too much to do today. I can't do the show. I'm sorry.
Mate, you should play that right at the start. See, before it goes...
I think we need to call it Bob Malcolm's Inbox.
Bob Malcolm's Inbox is the episode title this week. Thank you very much for listening to Bob Malcolm's Inbox. We'll see you on the next Football Daft. Cheers.
Audio Frontier.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.